Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Local Deep House is the order of the day, courtesy of Andy Clockwork, and we will get to an interview with him shortly. But first, let's check out this episode's track of the week. This one's coming all the way from the Czech Republic from a pair of producers collectively called Bratry. This is their latest, Blocks. Okay, Bratry putting their synths through its paces there, a nice one called Blocks, and that can be found online. On to the feature for tonight's episode. I was fortunate to connect with local producer Andy Clockwork a while back, and here he talks the Vancouver scene, production, and his goals for the future. Full tracklist and a collection of Andy Clockwork web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Let's check out the first half of the interview. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Vancouver-based DJ and producer Andy Clockwork. He's been producing and DJing since Synths and 90s. He's had releases on Munchies After Dark, Eastbound Digital, and Tilted Records, just to name a few. Additionally, he's DJed in London, Australia, Costa Rica, along with loads of local venues, including the legendary Lotus Sound Lounge. He's gigged alongside the likes of Alex Smoke, DJ T, Justin Martin, and Jesse Rose, and his latest track, Devil's Whisper, dropped on April 7th on Rainforest Music. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Andy Clockwork. So, to begin with, how do you define your sound?
Wow. I don't know. I would say that it's definitely got a kind of an old school deep house feel to it. I think that it's got some elements of disco in there. I think there's probably some elements of early breakbeat in there as well. So I try to keep it up tempo, kind of funky, but without too sing-songy or cheesy, I guess.
Okay, two questions in one here. What initially drew you into DJing and club culture? And when you finally did get in, what was the club scene in the city like at that time?
I think the thing which got me into it in the first place was actually going to disco night at the Commodore, like way back in the day when I was going to UBC. They had this Tuesday night at the Commodore, and it was $2 to get in, and it was just all vintage disco records, and it wasn't mixed like a DJ would mix today. It was just kind of faded in and faded out, but I just got into it. And shortly after that, a buddy of mine that would always go to those nights, we were driving to Whistler one day to go skiing in 1996, and he put in a mixtape, and this track came on. And when I think back, it's still probably my favorite track of all time, and it was Plastic Dreams by JD. And from there, I had to figure out, you know, what was happening and what it was like. And very, very quickly, once I, you know, became interested in it, I discovered this crazy, crazy rave scene in Vancouver that was going on back then that had clearly been going for many, many years before I even knew about it as a kid. So yeah, it was a really exciting time back then.
Okay, taking a look at things retrospectively here, what is the most obvious difference in the club scene from when you first started to what it currently is in the city?
I would say that back when I got started, at least, I think there was just a handful of DJs that had these amazing records, and not just the amazing records, but also the ability to put them together in a way such that it was kind of like the magic that a good DJ will be able to kind of conjure. These days, obviously, I think it's a lot easier to get into DJing. By no means does that take away from the talent of everyone getting involved. It's a lower barrier of entry these days. So I think that from the music perspective, that's one thing. And in terms of the clubs and the scene and the promoters, I think that, you know, earlier on, it was a much, much bigger scene. I think that I remember there was 5 nights a week in Vancouver where there'd be a different electronic night, ranging from down tempo to drum and bass to techno to house and everything kind of in between. And that was just the weekdays. You know, on the weekends, there'd be these crazy, crazy parties out in like Chilliwack or Richmond or Delta or wherever, with, you know, crazy international DJs coming in and doing their thing. These days, I think it's gotten a bit more commercialized. You know, we'll have these big events, but they're put on by big corporate kind of entities, and it's just a different way of approaching things, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, jumping over to the production side of things here, when you are making music, which DAW are you working with and why?
I'm in Ableton 10 right now. Previous to that, I was in Reason, and I'm really glad Ableton came along to get me out of Reason. I spent a lot of time fiddling around in the back end of Reason, so I'm not sure if your listeners or people out there know what old Reason is like, but it's not nearly as user-friendly as Ableton. And for me, Ableton is just sort of where I'm comfortable now. I find it really... It's sort of a cliche thing about Ableton, but for me, it really is an easy way to kind of get my ideas out quickly and then to be able to just kind of get that idea out there and then just kind of paint the picture of the track with the sequencing and the effects and everything else that kind of comes with that.
Okay, when you are working with Ableton, are you generally using their stock plugins or do you have a lot of external ones you bring in and do you possibly use hardware as well?
These days, I'd say I'm 75% third-party VST plugins, 25% in-house stuff. I'm all in the box. The only kind of hardware I have, it's not even really hardware, it's just like a little MIDI keyboard. So it's always been in the box, and I think that's probably saved my bank account a little bit. But I love the sound of vintage synths as well. If money was no object and time was no object, I'm sure I'd be, you know, right down the rabbit hole of the whole vintage synth world too. So.
Okay, when you first started producing music, either with Reason or something you might have been using before that, what was something you found particularly challenging with the whole process, and how did you eventually get over that?
I think the biggest aspect was just the synthesis aspect of things. Even like the very, very basic things like learning what filters are and how to get rid of certain frequencies and to modulate things. These days, and you know, I'm totally dating myself here, but that was way before we had social media and YouTube and tutorials and that kind of thing. So it was really, you know, asking questions and finding producers that could answer these kind of what by today's standards seem like kind of just basic questions.
Okay, when you start making tracks, do you generally have an idea in your head before you get going, or do you like to sit down at the computer and experiment and see where that leads to?
I think it's sort of 50-50. Like, I'm always kind of humming tunes in my head, and if I hear a sample or something, sometimes I'll just sit down at that moment if I can and just sort of just get a rough draft out, even if it's like a little 4-bar loop, and then maybe come back to it. And other times, if I'm just kind of noodling around, sometimes I'll come up with something and it'll stick. I don't know. I would say that 80% of the stuff that I noodle around with doesn't eventuate to anything. But something I've been finding recently, and I thank a Duke Dumont interview that I listened to for this, who was really cool, is just getting an idea out quickly and not worrying about the sequencing and, you know, making a whole track right there. Just getting the idea out and then moving on to a brand new idea and leaving those and letting them kind of sit and percolate for a bit and then returning to them later to see if you still like them when you're not in a different kind of mind frame about them. That's been really helpful.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
I'm DJ Waugh, and you are listening to the Andy Clockwork interview here on Techno Progressivo. We wrapped up there with his track Light Speed. Full track list along with a collection of Andy Clockwork web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. We kick off here with one called Close Off. On to part two of the interview. Okay, when it comes to DJing, what's the setup that you most prefer? Like CDJs, Traktor, possibly vinyl? What do you like to use?
Vinyl, if I can. Sometimes there's all vinyl gigs which come up, which is super fun because then I don't still buy vinyl. But I've still got lots of tracks from the 90s and the early 2000s, and I've over time kind of whittled it down to just the keepers. But primarily it's CDJs and USB sticks and that kind of thing.
And then how do you approach programming a set? Do you like to do a little planning ahead of time, or are you very good at reading the floor once you're up there?
I've pretty much always just judged the floor. I've tried programming sets before and I always fall flat on my face when I do that because I don't know what the crowd's going to be like and I don't know what kind of mood I'm going to be in. Like if I'm opening for a bigger DJ, I think it's easier to do that. But if it's like a local gig with other locals, you don't really know what the vibe of the room is going to be. So I think I've always just sort of try to feel that out and play to the room, essentially.
Now, when you are performing live, do you like to incorporate other musical elements like stems or acapellas or anything else along those lines? Or are you generally one track back-to-back kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. When I was playing primarily vinyl, I used to love using like hip-hop battle records just for little samples and that kind of thing, and acapella records. These days, I would say because of, you know, like things like the loop mode that you can use on the CDJ, you can pretty much do all that stuff on the fly. Not so much into the stems aspect of things, but yeah, I'll definitely use like little samples here and there throughout the course of the set.
Another kind of composed music, very much quieter but also strongly evocative.
Okay, taking a look back in the rear view here, have there been any clubs, events, or festivals, anything else along those lines that you've played at that have really stood out in your mind as monumental, and what made them so special?
I think one of, man, there's been tons. The biggest gig that I had played kind of when I was super young was actually in Australia, and I was 23 or 24, and I was opening for a DJ by the name of Pee Wee Ferris. And Pee Wee Ferris at the time was like Australia's biggest DJ. And this was a huge thing. And I played in like little clubs and that kind of thing, maybe, you know, 50 to 100 people kind of thing, little bars and pubs and that sort of thing. But all of a sudden I was in front of, I want to say there was probably 500 or 600 people in the room. And I remember for that set, I definitely programmed my set because I only had a finite number of records at that point. So I wanted to make sure that they all went together okay. I remember that one being a huge rush just because, you know, you're in this gargantuan sound system, and then, you know, it's just a whole different kind of playing field when you're in front of a bigger crowd. So that was really cool. I remember as well, DJing is one thing, but I remember also attending a few events also in Australia. There was a club night called Sunnyside Up in Melbourne, which was just this stomping kind of techno and tech house club. Gav Oliver was one of the residents. Phil Kay, the late great Phil Kay, was a resident back then as well. And I remember my doors being absolutely blown off just attending, watching these guys do what they do. And the level of DJing was through the roof. Like it gave me shivers. It was so good. So yeah, Australia was a really cool time for me, like learning to DJ and then coming back to Vancouver with the skill set that I didn't hone here, but I kind of came back and reintroduced myself to the scene with a bunch of skills and kind of some different records too. So I think that kind of helped kind of get things off the ground when I was a fledgling.
Okay, tough question time here. Can you think of one or two tracks that you've produced that have been your absolute best? And what is it that made them so special?
Yes, I mean, the first one, I think, is... it's called, the track's name is Clothes Off. And there's a track from the 80s. I think it's called... it's basically the hook goes, you know, we don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time. Oh, yeah. So what I was messing around with that. Came out... the track itself kind of... it ended up sort of writing itself. Everything just sort of worked with it. That was a long time ago. That was, I want to say 12, 15 years ago. Anyway, I shopped it around to a few labels and dropped music, dropped recordings out of, I want to say Leeds. Andrew Riley's one of the two Inland Knights, and I was still am a huge Drop Music fan. And they ended up signing that track to one of their sub-labels that kind of, came out on a 10-inch vinyl only limited edition press. So that was really cool. That was my first vinyl release. So even, you know, even to be acknowledged by those guys was a huge, hugely flattering and hugely humbling. And that was really cool. I've also got a real soft spot for this track that I wrote called Middle Earth. I wrote that track right around the time that Art Department was kind of blowing up. And it was that same kind of sound from back then, sort of like a 2011, 2010, kind of early deep tech house kind of vibe. It didn't do specifically well with any downloads or any sales, but I just think that track kind of perfectly encapsulates still my sound today, even though I've grown as an artist and I think that my stuff's getting more polished. Just the kind of the feel that track encompasses it has a soft spot as well. I mean, there's a few others too, but I think those ones really kind of jump out at me.
Okay, you've already mentioned a couple of DJs from Australia that really stood out as memorable for you. Can you think of a couple other DJs or producers who have really stood out and influenced the type of music that you make?
I mean, I'm going to start with super old school right off the bat, because I remember my mind being absolutely blown by listening to Northern Exposure Volume 2, Sasha and Digweed, on those Renaissance compilations that came out way back in the day. Just the programming, the fact that you mixed in perfect pitch, just the overall sense of painting a picture of an entire set. Like that, still to this day, I think that that record of that album, that mix album, is probably one of the best ever made, probably, to me at least. Kind of springing all the way forward just to people that I'm kind of influenced by these days, there's a producer named Ian Kirkpatrick. And Ian has done, he's pretty high level. He's done a bunch of stuff with like Dua Lipa recently. The way that he produces is very, very slick, and it sounds really, really good. And he's got all these really cool tutorials on YouTube, and he just shares all this information, which I think is really just, you know, it's just awesome that he does that. And I just like his approach and his sound design techniques and just the way he does stuff. So he's another guy that definitely pops to mind.
Okay, let's take a look in that crystal ball right now. When you think about the future, what is your vision for where you want to go, both in DJing and production?
Yeah, it's funny. I've taken a little bit of a break from DJing recently. I still absolutely love DJing. I just don't, at this point at least, I don't feel as though I have that same drive and that same hunger that I did when I was younger. And I don't know if that's an age thing. I don't know if that's a or what it is. Anytime I'm asked to play, I think I will absolutely do it. So DJing for at least the time being, aside from like, you know, friends' birthday parties and house parties here and there, it's not really my main focus. I think production these days is definitely where my passion lies. It aligns more with my lifestyle as well these days. And yeah, I think I'm really just kind of practicing and trying to get my sound as polished as possible. I think moving on to some slightly larger labels in the US might be a thing in the next little while. I've been in touch with a mid to large range US label based in Southern California recently, and they've shown some interest. I can't really say who it is because there's some stuff coming up and there's some stuff, but it's been nice to be kind of recognized and be given a nod by a label, and particularly a DJ who I've always liked. So I'm just gonna kind of keep plugging away with my production. And I think one of the things I need to do is to keep working on shopping my music around and presenting it to people, rather than just kind of staying in my creative bubble and doing it that way, which is very fun. But, you know, sometimes I think that sharing it would be as satisfying, if not more so. Is it more than I can see? You're just getting to know me. I've figured it out, yeah. I've figured it out, yeah. Is it more than I can see? Will it be love eventually? I've figured it out, yeah. I've figured it out, yeah. Is it more than I can see? You're just getting to know me. I've figured it out, yeah. I've figured it out, yeah. Is it more than I can see? Will it be love eventually? I've figured it out, yeah.
Okay, rounding things out, is there anything else that you'd like to promote right now?
Let's see. We've got a new release out on Tilted Records featuring the vocals of Tim Fuller. Tim is the most talented vocalist I've ever worked with. We did a compilation track called In My Arms where Tim dropped this hauntingly beautiful vocal over top of a track that I was just kind of noodling around with. We got back in touch, Tim and I, relatively recently, and he asked me for some music. And we had performed live together, like with me DJing and him kind of freestyling over top of what I was playing, and it always worked really well. But that record is out currently. It's on anywhere you can stream music. It's called In My Arms on Tilted Records with vocals by Tim Fuller. And I don't know, I think just his performance just blows me away, and I still get kind of shivers when I listen to it. So hats off to that guy, he's a pro. And yeah, if you can, check out the song.
All right, this has been Andy Clockwork. A selection of Andy Clockwork tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Juno Download, TrackSource, and Bandcamp. Additionally, a full list of Andy Clockwork web links can be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. Remember to check out his latest, Devil's Whisper, out now on Rainforest Music, as well as his collaboration with Tim Fuller, In My Arms, on Tilted Records. Thank you very much for doing this.
I call it transcendence. I call it transcendence.
Psytrance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
I call it transcendence.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thanks a lot to Andy Clockwork for agreeing to interview and for showcasing his brand of Deep House. Another episode in the books and more great local talent on display. Head over to the Techno Progressivo Facebook page to check out the full track listing as well as a selection of Andy Clockwork web links to find out more about the mind behind the music. If you've enjoyed the show and want to check it out again, head over to CITR.ca or Apple Podcasts to listen to this episode along with more great guest mixes and interviews from days of yore. Also, keep up to date with the show, follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages. Up next on the station is Attic Jam. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's Track from the Past. For this one, let's hop back 11 years in time to 2011 for one from David Tort. This is Jack It Up. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks.